All right, we're going to look today the topic of Palm Sunday. Today's Palm Sunday, and you know, it's a time that we remember, you know, the Lord as he went into Jerusalem, kind of revealed himself to everybody. You know, I don't know about you, I'd have settled to be the donkey that day. You know what I mean? Get to carry the Lord into Jerusalem, that would have been good. But as we look at this today, I'm going to take it from the angle that we call it Palm Sunday, but really I think it could have been called Psalm Sunday because of the way that they praised and just worshiped the Lord and how important that is. So as Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, you know, a praise and worship service broke out, much maybe like we had here this morning, you know, where we just kind of unashamed and unabandonedly just lift our hands to Jesus and praise him and thank him for all that he's done. See, spontaneous praise came out of the people's mouth. They couldn't contain it. And that's really what it needs to be in our life. Have that spontaneous where, you know, sometimes things are orchestrated. We know we got to get locked into a certain routine, don't we, in life? And in church service, we do too. We do this, 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 and this. And then, you know, but I like it just when something spontaneous happens in our life. You know, all of a sudden, they just, it was just, just right there at the right time. And they just started to exalt Jesus. Now, in the church calendar, I guess, you know, Palm Sunday kicks off Holy Week. But to me, there was not a lot of unholy things that happened this week coming up. We know how Jesus was taken and he was betrayed by a kiss. You know, one of his followers, one of his intimate people that he spent time with and poured his life into them. All of a sudden, they gave him a little kiss on the cheek and that betrayed him to the Roman soldiers. And just how, or I guess it was the priest, probably the people in the priest, their guards. But, you know, things happen in life that we can't control. And you cannot control sometimes other people's actions. We just have to be ready on how we're going to react to those actions, right? And then after he was betrayed, we know that he was examined. He was, you know, lied about, you know, accused of things. And then we know that he was scourged and beaten to a pulp, and then that we know that he went step by step to the cross. You know, his goal was the cross, and it started here this week as we celebrate Palm Sunday. He rode in on the donkey, and then he went into the church, and he upset the money changer tables and tried to purge the temple a little bit because he does not like, you know, unholy things happening in his church. And so we need to, you know, ask him, Lord, search my heart. Is there anything in me that I need to get rid of that's hindering my walk with you? You guys are awful quiet today. Maybe I shouldn't have started with that. Maybe I should have ended with that part. It's all good. Anyway, God loves us. He's not going to kick us to the curb, and we're excited about that. I've been kicked to the curb before many times in life, you know. But Jesus has never kicked me to the curb. Okay, we're going to look at scripture today found in Luke chapter 19, verse 36 to 40. Luke chapter 19, 36 to 40. And it says, talking about Jesus, and as he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word that has power, dunamis power, to be able to change and transform us and into your image, Lord. We just thank you that we yield to you right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. We ask you just to take control of our lives and especially control of this service. Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Lord Jesus, we just want to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, jumping right into this, I want to do a little historical background of what Palm Sunday is all about, because sometimes we don't really have a lot of those old traditions. I mean, we're coming upon Easter, or I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. Some people struggle. We talked about that yesterday in the prayer meeting a little bit about what it means to, you know, the difference between the word Easter and what all that means. And, you know, mainly, you know, you don't want to get too hung up on it. We know that it was a pagan holiday word or whatever, but our heart, we know what it means. It means we're talking about Jesus going to the cross, okay? So I try to say Resurrection Sunday, but every now and then the word Easter slips out, and God knows what I mean, and I hope you do too. Amen? Okay. So people of the nation of Israel had been waiting for the Messiah. Waiting, waiting some more, and then waiting more. Everybody hoped they were the generation that was going to bring the Messiah into the world so they could obtain deliverance from their enemies. That was their goal. Ever, you know, I read, you know, somewhere that all the young Jewish girls hoped that they would be the mother of the Messiah, the deliverer, the one who would bring liberation to their nation. Because they'd been held in bondage for years by many oppressors. I mean, different kingdoms had come and run over their country, and they went into bondage, and a lot of different things had happened in their life, and all of it was primarily because they allowed sin to come in their life. And when sin came in their life, God kind of pulled back his protection, and he allowed these other things to happen. And when this happened, you know, they kind of were crying out to God. And see, most oppression in life sometimes is self-inflicted due to our wrong decisions. The decisions that you and I make sometimes lead us into some sort of bondage or things like that. Now, what happened with Israel is the fact that they just tried to fit in. Have you ever tried to fit in anywhere? You know, so they was in these nations, and when God brought them out of Egypt, there was already people living there, but that land was promised to the Jews. So little by little, they started to overtake the land and take their possession. But they didn't get rid of all the other people that was in there like they were supposed to. So there's all these other, so we say, a couple different religions that were in there and in their midst. And what happened is that Israel played the harlot. They started to whore around and go after other gods that were false gods, gods that weren't the true Jehovah. And that got them into trouble because, you know, much like what we're looking at as we're heading into the Resurrection Sunday, you know, the Easter and what that all stands for is a fact that's talking about new life in the spring. Most everybody loves spring, right? I mean, we all probably like spring. Things start to get green, and, you know, it's a symbol of new life and all these things coming. And so these other religions would maybe offer sacrifices and give things to these other gods because they wanted to have good crops. They wanted to have fertile crops, and they wanted to have babies. You know what I'm saying? Fertility was a big thing in all ways of life back then. So that's what happened. The nation of Israel, instead of trusting the true God, the one who brought them out of Egypt, the one who parted the Red Sea, the one who brought them through the desert, the one who parted the river, and then they went on into the promised land, they forgot about all that stuff. And they started to go after these other gods and tried to fit in. And see, that's what happens to you and I sometimes in life. You know, being a strong Christian, sometimes you get kind of singled out and people start to maybe treat you a little differently. But that's okay. That's okay. That means we're doing it right. And you shouldn't feel bad about that. What's a problem is when we try to fit in with the world and we try to just kind of blend in to the system and we participate in those things, and that's when we start to get in trouble. You know, a lot of young people face that, peer group pressure and stuff, because many of them are not strong in the faith. And then they act one way here, like at church or with God, and then sometimes they go in, you know, to school and then just blend in, and that's a dangerous thing to do. And it's like that with adults too. Sometimes some adults do that. They don't want to make a stand. We got to be careful because we see what happens, you know, when those things happen in our life. So they chased after these other gods. Now, you know, it would have been easier if God just would have created people to have to follow him. After all, he is God, right? You know, he's in charge. He's the creator of the heavens and earth. He could have easily created people that would just have to worship him. But see, free will has risks, but it's worth it. I'm glad we're not all the same. I'm glad my wife's not like me. I wish she wasn't totally opposite of me like she is, you know, and things would be a little easier sometimes. But we have a lot of fun, you know what I'm saying? You know, we still haven't learned to communicate yet. In all the years of marriage, you know, we still misunderstand each other and you just laugh sometimes. You know, I really thought she meant that, or she, you know, she says the same to me. But see, that free will is worth it. See, God could have created people to worship him because they had to. But God wanted to create people to worship him because they want to. God wants you to worship him. God wants you to give your life to him and to follow him because you love him. I don't serve Jesus because I'm afraid to go to hell anymore. In the beginning, it might have been that way. I don't know about you, but hell didn't sound very appealing to me. You know, I kind of, you know, didn't like that weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't really know what that means. And then the whole thing about fire, you know, that don't sound good either. So, you know, that's kind of a tension getter sometimes. But I don't serve God because I'm afraid of hell anymore. I serve God because I love him. I've started to come to him and I understand and I've started to experience what he wants to do in my life. And that's really, you know, why I follow him. And I encourage you to make that transition if you haven't done that yourself. See, each generation that came, they thought they would be the one that would see the Messiah. And it's kind of like us today. How many believe that they're part of the rapture generation? Most people would probably say, looking at what's going on in our world, man, it's got to be soon, right? You know, but each generation says that. Now, I remember a young person that I grew up with. Me and him used to run around together, and he was from a certain denomination. And, you know, they had some people come in, an evangelist, and talking about the rapture was going to come right then. And this was back in the 70s. And they were lining things up. And, you know, I remember the 70s being kind of bad, but I don't remember them being this bad like they are now. But I tell you, you know, he put all his faith that Jesus was going to come. And he didn't. So he got discouraged. And he quit following Jesus. See, we don't follow Jesus just because we think he's coming. We follow Jesus because of who he is. Amen. It doesn't matter if Jesus doesn't come in our lifetime, in our generation. You know, we don't serve him because of that. We serve him because of who he is. Amen. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And we have to make that transition in our mind so that we understand that no matter what, I'm not gonna turn my back on him. You know, I'm waiting for the second coming. But, you know, if it doesn't come in my lifetime, well, I'll just go on to be with the Lord just like all my other brothers and sisters in the Lord who died, you know, ahead of me. Now, you know, about this, what was going on here in the nation of Israel. You know, it was coming on Passover. Y'all know what Passover is, right? Passover was a time in Egypt when the children of Israel were in bondage and they cried out to God and they sent a deliverer and his name was Moses. And then he was starting to, you know, follow God and do the miracles and things like this. And then the last one was because Pharaoh kept changing his mind and not letting the people go, that God said the firstborn beast or person is going to die. The only way that wasn't going to happen is if you sacrificed the lamb and you took the blood and you put it over the lintel of the doorpost and down the sides. And then when the death angel came, it would pass over your house. Praise God when the enemy passes over your house. Amen. And we got more power in the blood of Jesus. Well, the Jews, the men especially, were commanded to go to worship in Jerusalem several times a year and go to the temple. And this was one of them. So picture the state fair on steroids. You know what I mean? Has anybody been to the state fair? I'm not big on crowds anymore. I mean, I like I said, I get impatient at the four stoplights we got. You know, I just try to go around them sometimes. But, you know, state fair draws a lot of people. And this was drawing a lot of people to the city of Jerusalem. They were all converging on this town. And here's what had happened. Jesus knew that his time was coming close, so he was just coming off some momentum, shall we say, in his ministry. He had healed a blind man. He had cleansed some lepers, and then also he had been preaching about the kingdom of God. So all these things were starting to happen, and all these things were going along the way, and his reputation was just growing and growing and growing to the ones around him. And people were just getting excited because they had admitted that he was a prophet at least a prophet, you know, because of the miracles he was doing and the things he was telling about the kingdom of God. But all of a sudden here, something changed. He started to fulfill these prophecies. When he hopped on that little colt and he started to ride that into the eastern gate, it was a symbol that the Messiah was coming. And people started to put two and two together. And see, a lot of things had happened. He had raised Lazarus from the dead recently. He had just got through staying with them. And then he was coming to town. So all these things were starting to fall into place. And, you know, people were already stirred up about Lazarus. You know, here's a guy that was dead for, what, 4 days? And all of a sudden he rose from the dead and you see him walking around. And it really stirred up a deal that a lot of people started to follow him. Matter of fact, in John chapter 12, verse 10, it said the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, meaning that a lot of people were leaving the Jewish faith and becoming followers of Christ because he rose somebody from the dead. And so, as evil as religion is, instead of thanking God for that miracle, they wanted to kill the evidence. Isn't that silly? You think about it. They wanted to kill the evidence of the power of God. And see, that's what religion will do in our life. It'll kill the power of God in our life. And we want to make sure that we don't get entangled in religion and allow that to lead us to destruction. So we know that the Eastern Gate was very mentioned in Scripture and how the Messiah would come through it and how that prophecy is being fulfilled. And what happened is, on their way to Jerusalem, you know, all of a sudden things, they started to get so excited, they just got carried away. Have you ever got carried away in the moment? You know, maybe not here at church as much. I mean, we should. That's what my goal is. But let's say you're at have you ever been at a sports game or something? All of a sudden people sitting there and all of a sudden something happens, either a bad call or something, and boom, everybody just rises out of their seats, man. This is spontaneous. Now that's a spontaneous action because of something happening. And see, that's what we need to see, that when we worship Jesus Christ, it needs to be spontaneous. And that's what I'm looking at now, is the idea of spontaneous praise. See, on their way to Jerusalem, a worship service broke out. When they saw Jesus jump on that donkey and it fulfilled the prophecy that was taking place, we know that it really got their attention. They said, wow, this is the time. Praise God for the miracles. We see, you know, see miracles, and you know, they were thanking God for those. But yet, it's what they said in Scripture, but see, miracles are just a sign to get our attention. It's what we do after that. See, what does it mean for you and I to worship God with all our heart? What does that mean? Have you ever heard the old saying, put your heart into it? You know, when I was working on the farm, doing some of the stuff my dad made me slash I wanted to do, you know, however you want to look at it. You know, a lot of times my heart wasn't in it. You know, I didn't do my best. You know, I just kind of wanted to do it to get done. You know, we homeschooled our kids. Sometimes they was more into getting it done than they were learning. You know what I'm saying? So they would just want to get the assignment done. And I asked them, what did you learn? They couldn't tell me. Their heart wasn't in it. And see, it can come like that, you know, in our walk, in our relationship with God. Or we come here and, you know, sometimes we clap. Sometimes we raise our hands. But is our heart really in it? Or are we just going through the motions? And I'll be honest with you, it's more fun when our heart's into it, isn't it? Think about anything you've ever done in life when your heart was really into it. It was a great experience, wasn't it? Because we got something out of it, because we gave of all of ourselves. And that's what I want us to see today, that when we worship God and we praise God, that we really, and I'll be honest, this is a simple prayer. I've been going through the Freedom Class. I keep telling the same thing. Maybe you don't feel it now. Ask God to help you feel it. That's a good prayer. God, I don't feel like I really want to praise and worship you with my whole heart, but I want to. Help me to do that. And lo and behold, God will answer prayers like that real easy. We just have to be willing to participate. And we do that, we allow those things to come into us, and we allow the Holy Spirit to touch us, because I'll be honest, people, we don't want to miss the times of visitation from God. There's times when we enter into the presence of God here, and there's times as we worship and as we're there, you can just feel the presence of God, and that's the time we don't want to miss it. We don't want to allow ourselves to be distracted, to allow things in our life to take our focus away from God, because when we do that, we can miss out. I'm not talking about missing out on heaven, you know. That's not an issue here. But what I'm talking about right now is, right now, we need a touch from God. Everybody does, I believe. Amen. We all need a touch from God. And I think it comes when we get into, when our heart is really into it. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, when they dedicated the temple, it said they all cried out with one voice. That means everybody's on the same page. Amen? So when we're on the same page and we're all crying out to God, God answers that prayer, that cry, and he manifests his presence in our place. And that's what we want in life. Because one touch from God is better than months or years of attending church or anything else. You know what I'm saying? Because getting that one touch from God, and that's what we want to go after. We want to be unashamed, and I want to say almost we want to be reckless. Have you ever been reckless? Not just driving, but, you know, reckless. Reckless in our pursuit with God. We're out of control, man. I want to get out of control. You know, I want to just go for it and just, I don't care what anybody else thinks. God, I just want you. And that's what the people were saying. They were so excited about the Messiah. They're finally going to be delivered from their problems. They're tired of the Romans taking their money and taking their people and their women and things like this. All that they eat. The Romans, some of the soldiers, they're pretty mean. They were tough customers, and they were taking things from the people here. And the people were sick of it. And what they did then is they went all in. And there was a symbol of that because, you know, when they took their coats and they spread them on the ground before Jesus, a coat was a symbol of your pledge. If I borrowed money from, let's say, Jeff here, $100, I would give him my coat as a pledge to say that I fulfill it. All I am, I'm pledging this to you. And I'm going to pay you back. I'm giving all I am. And see, that's what they were doing. They were all in because they saw Jesus come to town. They knew he was a prophet, but now all of a sudden, this Messiah thing, they thought that he might be the one. So they laid him down, and then other parts of the gospel talk about the palm leaves and waving them like we did already this morning. And the idea of how they laid them on the ground, it was a symbol of, hey, this is royalty coming here. I want to worship this person. I give all that I am to this person. You know, and they were all in to what Jesus, and they cried out, Hosanna. It's in other parts of the gospel, and the word Hosanna means, you know, save me or save us now. They wanted saved. They wanted free, just like sometimes we want free. We want free from the oppression in our life, the things that drag us down, the things that hold us back. Lord, save me now. And that's what he wanted. But see, true worship runs deep, not just superficial emotion, but comes deep in our soul. You know, sometimes we can be an emotional person. Sometimes we just go by our feelings. And feelings do happen, don't they? But I do know feelings can't be trusted all the time. I thank God when I have good feelings. But when I act on my bad feelings, that's when I get into trouble. So I know that feelings aren't the safest thing. But when it comes deep down inside of us, God, I'm going to serve you no matter what. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what people say. I don't matter what happens in my life, but I'm going to follow you no matter what. It doesn't matter. I'm not turning back. Jesus, one step after the other, went to the cross. No matter what came against him, his destination was to hang on Calvary. And it didn't matter what came into his life. They beat him. They scourged him. They spit upon him. They mocked him, but nevertheless, each step he had to get to Calvary. Amen. He had to get to Calvary. And we need to have that same determination and dedication that we're going to get to the place that God wants us. To me, the people here were having a benefit. You know what a benefit is? It's a fit because of all the beneficial things that God had done in our life. They were just, it didn't matter. They were just excited about it, and that's how we need to get. And true worship comes when we tune out distractions around us and totally focus on Jesus. I know that any time here, you know, on a Sunday morning when we go full-blown Jesus on worship, you know what I mean? There can be distractions around us. I don't know if you've been here, maybe you've heard somebody talking during worship. I mean, that's kind of crazy, ain't it? They're not focused on it, but you may have that here in the building. You know, there could be some other things. Maybe, oh, a kid's making a noise. God forbid. You know, Jesus says don't push the children away. I mean, I like kids. I mean, that's all good. Right. You know, some people say, oh, they make fingerprints on the glass doors. God help us today we don't have fingerprints on the glass doors. You know what I'm saying? You know, we want to have that. But see, we got to learn how to deal with those distractions, just put them out of our mind. And a matter of fact, Jesus, you know, there's two kind of groups here. There was the disciples, the followers of Jesus, and they were coming to town, and they were just whooping it up, getting all excited. They were so glad, you know, hey, here we are, the Messiah's come, we're going to be set free. But then all of a sudden you had the chief priests coming out, the religious leaders. They said, hey, you better tell your guys to shut up, you know, because that's not right. You know, you're not doing it right. And Jesus said, if I tell these to be silent, the stones will cry out. All creation longs for the coming of our Lord. They want the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And, you know, praise and worship starts because of what he's done, but it grows into that we worship him because who he is. I think you and I all probably came to Christ because we needed something. You know what I mean? I needed set free from sin. I needed to feel something inside of me that was lacking, something that this world could not feel. I tried so many different things trying to fill that little spot, you know. We all got that little spot, you know, that we just can't get satisfied. You know, we try all these other things. But see, once I met Jesus, Jesus did that for me. So yeah, I'm going to follow him because he did that. But then as I grew in Christ a little bit, it didn't matter if he did anything. It's who he is. Amen. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matter of fact, the Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. I mean, that's just who he is. We serve a great and mighty God. There's none better. And there's going to come that day, and I can't wait to see that day. I long for that day when here Jesus is standing there and everything around him is on their knee, just on their knee. And he's worthy to be praised. See, that's the excitement of being a Christian, being able to be a follower in the faith of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, and then we start to see that things start to happen in our life and we get set free. But see, the problem is, and I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, is that there can be some big misunderstandings in life, can't they? Have you ever misunderstood a situation? You know? And you went in there thinking it was this, and then you got there and it was that. And things just fell apart. And see, that's kind of what happened here, you know, during quote-unquote Holy Week. There was a lot of unholy things happened that week. All these people that were out there outside of Jerusalem when Jesus was heading toward the Eastern Gate, they were just whooping it up, praising God, thanking God, he has come, this is our deliverer. And I'm sure everybody in Jerusalem was saying, well, look at those fools out there, you know, they're just praising God and, you know, getting all excited about it, you know, that, you know, they go to that kind of church, you know what I'm saying? The kind of church that claps and raises their hands and actually has fun, praise God, you know, and they're making fun of us. And that's okay. But what happened here is that a lot can happen in a week and a lot can happen in a life. You know, we start off thinking something's going to go a certain way and then it doesn't end up that way. You know, and it can happen that way in relationships or whatever we pursue. On Sunday here, many were all in, but on Friday they were all out. You know, they had witnessed the scourging of Christ, where he was beaten beyond recognition almost. Tells about it in Isaiah 53. And, you know, all they'd watched that, and, you know, here they'd just seen their deliverer riding in the town, and he was going to set them free, and now he's tied to a pole, and they're beating him mercilessly. Then they witnessed that they laid a cross on him, and that he started to go to Golgotha, where he was going to be executed by hanging on a cross. They watched all this with their eyes. Just on Sunday, the previous Sunday, they watched him march into Jerusalem. Everybody was happy. But now things have changed. What changes in our life sometimes that causes us to maybe stop praising God or stop following him like we did before? You know, I've been at this a lot of years and I've watched a lot of people. I love to watch people. People are great. But, you know, sometimes people fall away. People fall away. They don't follow through with what they thought they was going to do. See, they probably thought, how could I be so stupid to pledge my life to Jesus. I took my coat off. I let that donkey ride over it. Everybody saw me pledge my life to him. And now look, he's dead. I put my eggs in the wrong basket. A little Easter humor there. But that's what happened. That's what they felt. See, today I believe that sometimes we contemplate this same question, and you know, for us, how can we give our life to somebody that we cannot see based on a book that was written long ago? How can we do that? Faith. That's what it takes. It takes faith, put in our trust, no matter what. The Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight, okay? We can't go by what's going on around us. We can just go by what we know that is in us. And that's the Spirit of God, amen. The life-changing power of Jesus Christ. See, hindsight's 20/20. We can look back and we can see all these things. And, you know, they thought that Jesus came solely to deliver them from their physical problems. And sometimes we come to Jesus for that. You know, some people come to Jesus and, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, I just want Jesus to heal my grandma. And then maybe things don't work out the way they want. And so they're mad at Jesus now. They don't want to follow God because God didn't come through for them. We don't follow God because he comes through. We follow God because of who God is. You know, we follow God because what he says in the Word and what he says that we're supposed to do, we're supposed to, you know, give our heart to him and follow him. And you know, Jesus' main reason for coming the first time was to deliver us out of our spiritual problems. We all have spiritual problems. Spiritual problems is separation from God. It's spiritual death. That's why Jesus came the first time. Yeah, the other stuff was gravy and bonus. You know, he healed people and he still does that today. But even if Jesus does not heal us, are we going to follow him? Are we going to allow him to set us free from our spiritual problems? The problems that we have is that separation from God. And sometimes we get confused and misunderstandings. And I've always shared that story. I'll share it again. You know, I had a guy I worked with when I was in Denver. And, you know, my wife and I had just gotten married a year or so before that. And I hadn't seen this guy in several years, but I had witnessed to him a lot at work. And all of a sudden, we ordered our pizza, and he delivered our pizza to us that day. He wasn't an electrician no more. And he said, Brad, guess what? You know, I became a follower of Christ because, you know, I heard that if you pray and if you ask God, if you put down $10, you'll get a 100-fold return. I go, what? Yeah, He got there because he was going to get something out of it. You know, and we can misunderstand those things. I mean, granted, God can bring a 100-fold return in our life, but, you know, if you're basing your whole relationship on God, if he's going to do something like that in your life, it's wrong. You've missed the whole point of what it means to become a Christian. And those things can happen, and we don't want to make sure we don't misunderstand those things. So here's some of the things that we can misunderstand and what it means to be a follower of Christ. Number one, it's not a get-out-of-jail card. Right? You know, I've witnessed some people that are in jail, and you know, they accept Jesus, but they don't get out of jail right yet. They still got to pay their price sometimes. Sometimes God works a miracle. Sometimes, you know, they just got to stick it out and follow God no matter what. So if you have made some big sin, yeah, we repent and get that right between us and God. But that's not saying that we won't have some other things that we have to deal with in this world. You know, it doesn't mean that we'll never have another problem. You know, some preachers get up there and say, all you got to do is ask Jesus in your heart, you'll never have another problem in your life. Well, that's making a false follower right there. Because the first problem that comes along, they're going to think, well, maybe I'm not really saved. No, the Bible says if those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. You know, sometimes persecution comes because of us following Jesus. And also, we have to remember that no matter what, you know, that Jesus just means that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Meaning whatever Jesus doesn't deliver us out of, he will bring us through. We have to have trust in that. Our faith isn't built on all these other things. It's built on just what we know that the Word says. You know, we just shouldn't just focus on what God can do for us. We must focus on what God can do through us. You know, we want God to do something for us, but I want God to do something through us. The greatest victory that you're going to have, an experience you're going to have, is when God starts to work through you. Amen. And you know it's God. Amen? You get out there on the water like Peter did, and you need faith and you need grace because you know that you're not able to do this. But when you do that and you start to see God move in your life, it just fortifies our faith, and it's important, but it won't happen until we get out of the boat. You know, poor Peter, you know, he got out of the boat, and I'm sure it was hard because you're going to find this out in life. You know, they were all in the boat, and Peter probably turned to John and says, "Hey, John, you know, I think I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to go walk on the water towards Jesus." John said, "You better not do that, Peter." "No." And Andrew, "No, Peter, you can't do that." He says, if you go, Peter, we're all going to have to go. And they knew they didn't have the faith to do it. Some of the people that's going to hold you back or try to hold you back in life are well-meaning, well-loving Christians that's going to hold you back from God's best. And you need to sort out the difference when you need to hear God or when you need to hear other counsel. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, the Spirit of truth. He'll bring truth in our heart. And Peter stepped out. Granted, he started to sink, but he still stepped out. And there's a whole sermon in that, how he broke his focus and started looking at the problems. And, you know, we can't look at the problems. So many make the mistake of only following Jesus because they want him to do something, and he doesn't do it their way. They stop following. We know that's something that we shouldn't do. Last point is, I just want to encourage us to not hold it in. Let spontaneous worship break out in our life, whether it be singing a song or however you feel you want to worship God. You know, just do it with all our heart. That's what we need today. And as we're heading into this week of Easter, you know, and next Sunday we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, and it's going to be a grand and glorious time, and we're going to celebrate our Lord for raising from the dead. It don't get no better than that. So I want you to come next Sunday and just go for it. Just go for it. And just let it out. You know, I don't care if you scream. I don't care if you dance. You know, praise God. Let's just let what we really know on the inside come out of our life. Because I'll tell you what, freedom comes when we're willing to let go. Amen? And maybe you're scared to do it. I encourage you to go home today. Go in your house, lock the door, and just yell, "Hosanna." You know what I'm saying? Loud as you can. Hosanna. Or the other H word, hallelujah. Amen? We got a lot of H words, don't we? Amen. Praise God. And just do it. Let it out, and you start to see and start to get that pump primed. Praise God. We start to follow him. I'm starting to feel another sermon, a different direction come on, so I better stop right now. Amen? Amen.